Proverbs 3, 1 through 8. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. I'm feeling a little old here right now after all those 50s that he threw out. I go, really? Really? I'd like to start this week's message where we ended last week. If you remember, the music team closed the service with singing The Blessing, popularized by, I think it was Carrie Job and Cody Carnes, Elevation Worship. This song is based on the priestly blessing found in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 and 26. The blessing was actually God's chosen words given to Moses, who was to give it to Aaron and his sons to be proclaimed over the people of Israel. These words to the verses go something like this, and if you remember last week, remember the tune, I'm so tempted to sing it. I don't think I will, but I don't know. Here's what we sang. Thank you, music team. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Amen. The song continued. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you. The song continues. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and their children and their children. He is with you. He is with you. He is with you. I can't help but walk away after hearing that song sung saying, I want that blessing. I want to live into that blessing. I want that blessing for myself. I want that blessing for my family. I want that blessing for my family's families. I want that blessing for my friends and for my neighbors. The message that I've chosen for this week is the best I've found that moves myself and hopefully the rest of us towards applying that message and being able to find that blessing. Two verses that have taken up more space in my mind and heart than any other verses in Scripture, and I know I'm not alone. I don't think these are hopefully familiar to you already. Two verses are in your notes this morning. They're found on page 528 in the Bible that's near you if you don't have a Bible with you. Two verses, four principles that I believe can help anybody, anywhere, at any time, find their way to or back to a God through Jesus who said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And that verse is recorded in John 10:10. Two verses, four principles that I believe can help anybody anywhere at any time through any life situation that's thrown at them. Wish it was all that easy. But in that same verse in John 10:10, where Jesus says that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly, he also says there's a thief that comes only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Think about it. Aaron and his sons and the high priest that followed them proclaimed that blessing over the people of Israel for generations. As we know, some received that blessing, but many did not. Because through their own self-centeredness, through the influence of the evil one, of Satan, they've lost their way. And that was able to influence their lives away from what God had for them. These two verses in Proverbs that I'm going to concentrate on today, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, they're simple, and yet I found them to be so profound. They are here to frame and direct our thinking at all times, accessible 24/7, 365, and I think that I probably used it about 24/7, 365. It's a tool for your use, but what I also like about it is easily offerable for others and for you to share. It empowers you to be able to not only be ministered to, but to minister through the principles found in these two verses. I think of these two verses as the Bible's Swiss Army knife. They're versatile, multiple uses, can be easily apprehended. These verses came to my mind. Let's say it this way. I acquired about 15 years ago, I acquired a habit, a good habit. And it was one that slowed me down in my study of Scripture to where I would write out Scripture about 5 to 8 verses a day on the right-hand side of a journal. Then on the left-hand side, I would title that, what I read that day. I'd give it a title, and then I'd write comments, ask questions, or outline it, and so forth, so on. Proverbs was the first book that I went to do that in. I got to chapter 3. I wrote out verses 1 through 8, and verses 5 to 6 just popped, just stuck out to me. I couldn't get away from them. At that same time, life was being what life does. It was challenging me. And there were some distress calls that were going up. And I was waking up regularly from 2 to 4 in the morning. And I'd just be thinking about how I screwed up the day before, or about I haven't had a big day in front of me, and how the things that I control, I wasn't doing a very good job at. The things that were out of my control, I didn't know how to put up with that. And so these verses came at that time, and I started to roll them over in my head, over and over in my head. So it's through that acquired habit that got me to that Scripture, then the distress calls that got that Scripture to be called back into my heart, that kind of just helped me frame what might be some help for me, and I did find out that help was there. Well, from understanding it as a place to go for distress calls, I also saw it as a challenge for discipleship. As I would be wanting to live larger than ever before, I wanted to be more pleasing to God than ever before. Help me to know how I can do more for you, Lord. And so I would get these opportunities to come, and I'm thinking, wait, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do that. And all of a sudden, I just felt like I was working with an infant. And I said, well, can you jump over this? Well, can you jump over this? And can jump over that. And so it was a challenge to my discipleship, or my followership is what I call discipleship. So am I willing to follow him here? Can I really trust him to help lead me in this? And so it took me from just the distress calls to just a challenge to discipleship. But then as I meditated on these verses, I also found, well, you know, these verses kind of frame out the whole story of the Scriptures and of the gospel. And so it just helped me to be able to be confident of what I understood my faith to be, and gave me that confidence to be able to share it with others. It also then became, these verses became a guide for counseling others. As I met with others, it framed, those four principles helped frame my questions and how I would approach trying to help others kind of think through what God wanted to be teaching them through whatever life situation they were going through. So let's consider these verses. A lot about it. That's what got me here. You're here with me now. Let's look at these verses. Let's look at the first one. I call it help principle number one. Chapter 3, verse 5a, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And here simply is, there is a God. He can be trusted. And he can be trusted with all of you. And our conversations will go like this in the middle of the night. I'm freaking out and God's saying, I'm here. I'm here. You see me over here? I hear you. You hear me? I'm here for you. So principle one, there is a God. He can be trusted, and he can be trusted with all of you. Help principle number two. Do not lean on your own understanding. You are not God. The sooner you realize that, the better. You're great, but you're not God. In our conversations here, would go something like, you really want to be doing this alone? God's saying, it's my understanding that it's your understanding that got you in this predicament. Do not lean on your own understanding. Lean a little bit more on me, says the Lord, a little less on you. And maturity is more and more on him and less on me. Help principle number three, verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. When given the choice, choose him. He's got stuff that'll help. Every day brings choices. Choose wisely. Choose his wisdom. Choose what he has available for you to be able to live the life that's in front of us. Hear our conversations be like, I've got help for that. I can help you with that. Yep, I've seen that before. I can help you with that. And also what kind of started to come to mind is James Bond. Love James Bond movies. But it's like James Bond gets the mission, but then he forgets to go see Q in his laboratories and see what all the gadgets are that he has for him. That's acknowledging that he needs help and that there's some gadgets there that Q has to be able to help James Bond. Well, God has his gadgets too. God has his stuff that he wants to, that he's given us to be able to call on. And so in all our ways, acknowledge him. More on that later. Help principle number four, and he will make your path straight. I don't know about you, paths are better when they're straight. But we're back to trust. Will he really help me? Well, is his way really better? Really, he will help, and really it is. Progressively straighter and straighter. I shudder to think. And those of you that have walked with the Lord a while, I'm sure you can echo this too. I shudder to think where I would be had I not come to Christ and began trusting him in more and more areas of my life with more and more things. Conversations simply be like, I've got a better way. Trust me. I've seen this before. I can help. So let's go back to principle number one. Help principle number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What's the key word in this principle? It seems like trust, since it's the lead-off word. I'd like to offer another, the Lord. It's the object of our trust that carries the day, or not, if our trust is in something else. A pastor wrote, if you're falling off a cliff, strong trust in a weak branch is fatally inferior to weak trust in a strong branch. But we trust someone as much as we know them. So, what do you think of when you think of God? You imagine an old man dressed in white. Think of a close friend. You think of a distant ruler. Is that God you're thinking of trustworthy? There's a pastor, theologian, A.W. Tozer, reminds us that our view of God is vitally important to our character and directly influences how we live. He writes, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The scriptures reveal him. Jesus reveals him. The testimonies of our biblical predecessors reveal him. Even the testimonies from each other reveal who he is. And he is trustworthy. That's a part of our growing up and our maturity, is getting to see God for who he truly is, bigger and bigger understanding of all that he has and all that he is. This doesn't happen overnight. If you ever look for a mechanic, financial advisor, a dentist, you ask around. What have you heard? Do you know a mechanic that I can take my car to that I can trust? Do you have a financial advisor that's been working for you that's good? And you know, over time, you find out who's trustworthy, who's not, who you can count on, who you can't. Well, same thing about God. You know, it's the more we get to know Him, the more paths we've walked with Him, the more we're able to say, yeah, I really can count on Him for this. Which allows us then to have more confidence when someone else is going through something to say, well, hey, have you tried? I've tried. Try this. And I'm saying to you today, here's some verses. Here's some principles. Try this. We ask around. We pay attention. Who can we depend on? And I found that a helpful word for trust or for faith is that word dependence, or I can depend on Him. Because He is for you. He is for you. Count on Him. You can depend upon Him for every area of your life, for each day's journey, your journey, today, this week. Help principle number two. Do not lean on your own understanding. If the object of our trust is what carries the day, making ourselves out as God and depending upon our own abilities and knowledge to find that straighter path will find us sorely lacking. We're great, but we're not God, and we're not even close. Now, we have been made in God's image, and that allows us to live life on a much higher and privileged plane than any of God's other creatures. And most importantly, God has granted us the ability to choose. Choice is the only path of a loving relationship, and that's what God wants to have with us. But that's risky. I know. If you've watched a Hallmark movie, you know. Love can be risky, trying to find that person. Well, with God, that's all that much more important. Through Adam and Eve, we chose poorly. And that sin has marred relationships and brought death and division and destruction and misery. We are human, and our human condition finds us as fallen creatures with limited knowledge and abilities. Yet, and this is important, yet Jesus has designed you, and He has designed you as you on purpose, but not to go solo. And for a purpose not found until teamed with Him. The more we're teamed with Him, the more we're tuned into the purpose that He has given, to us. Therefore, help principle number three. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Don't fight the facts of principles one and two. God is God, we are not. Now, in light of that, acknowledge what He has revealed about Himself. Acknowledge what He has revealed about us. He is our loving Creator who seeks to bless us. But we cannot find our true blessed selves without Him engaged in our lives. So acknowledge Jesus. He is our rescuer. He is our redeemer. He is our reconciler. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Who God has given us to dwell now within us and to empower us to be able to do things that are supernatural to our natural bent, but are natural to God's divine bent. Acknowledge the scriptures like Proverbs that are able to speak into our lives. And acknowledge each other. God's given us each other as a gift in this body of Christ to be able to encourage and help one another. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Help principle number four, and He will make your path straight. He has a plan. My testimony, senior year in high school, I was lost. Oh, I thought I was found until I was lost. Something happened, and all of a sudden I just realized what I was counting on is just not going to be there, and I had nowhere to place a foot. Didn't know where to go. Someone invited me to hear an evangelist that night, and I was so desperate I went. The evangelist that night said a number of things. In 20 minutes, my life went from black and white to color. But three things that he said that really stood out to me. He said, God knows you by name. He says, he loves you enough that he died for you. And he has a plan for your life that he's hoping you'll grab onto. This lost, long-haired, hippie freak kid needed to hear that message. Grabbed onto it. Trying to keep that grip ever since. And it truly has been an amazing adventure ever since. And so my testimony, I kind of sum up in 3 points. 5 words. So every day I wake up, I want to aspire. I've said this before to you all, if you were here. I want to aspire to all that God has for me. I want to be a part of his great commission. I want to enjoy the fact that I have the Holy Spirit living within me and can live a life that's going to count for more than I could ever have a life count for just on myself. But I also realize in that aspiration that I can't find that life again just leaning on my own self. But I need to abide in him. So I want to aspire to be all he wants me, but I need to abide in him to be able to actually live out those aspirations and to find them each and every day. Every day is an aspiration to be lived out. Every day is an abiding opportunity to walk with the Lord for that day and to meet every choice, every challenge with what would he have me say? What would he have me think about this? I can't do this. Oh, but you can. Holy Spirit, live your life. Help me to grab onto the understanding. Have the patience, have the forbearance to be able to deal with whatever comes my way that way. So that then at the end of the day, what every person in the world does is they lay their head down on a pillow or a rock or something, and before they go to sleep, they look back on that day. And what did they say about that day? Well, for those of us who understand these principles and have the right aspirations and recognize that we can have this life by abiding in him, we can look back on that and say, best day ever. How can we not say best day ever when we're walking with the Lord and he's the one that we've trusted to guide us through that day and given us the power to live it out and to look back and say best day ever? Who am I to say that the Creator should have had another day in mind for me to have a best day ever? But when I lay my head down on that pillow, you know, some days are bester than others. But that's also what's best about our walk with the Lord, is that I can ask forgiveness for where I fell short. And I can say, Lord, teach me what I needed to learn today to be able to make it better the next day, and then to be able to wake up that next morning knowing I get one more opportunity. I get another chance to aspire to all that he wants me to be and to do, to abide with him in partnership in doing that, so where the next day I can say, what a great day to walk with the Lord. It's summer. What, maybe the first week some of these students are out. I know the college students have been out for a few weeks already. Summer assignment, if you haven't already done it, memorize and meditate on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And its four principles. What I found so valuable about this passage is that it directs what I call gospel living, what I've been trying to describe here. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, found in the scriptures, in its most basic form, has four truths. The four words that I use for this are creation, the fall, redemption, and then I say new creation. That's what I see in these principles. That's what I see played out in the entirety of scriptures, and that's what I see Jesus as being the pinnacle of in this gospel. The creation, there is a loving creator God who made man in his image to enjoy fellowship with him. There is a God. For those who can't say trust in the Lord with all your heart because they don't have a Lord to trust, I shudder to think what life would be like living that kind of a life. But there is a Lord, there is a God, He is loving, He created us, made us in His image to enjoy His fellowship. But then there was that fall. For true love to be experienced, He gave man choice. We chose ourselves over God. So that relationship was busted, broken. We needed help. We needed rescue. Jesus came in, redeemed us. So then we have redemption. God's love for us did not leave us hanging. But He made the ultimate sacrifice in sending Jesus to redeem those who would do better with this second, if this second choice, or when the second choice was offered, and if we would submit to it. I choose you do better with this choice, second choice that He's offered. And then that new creation. We come, we submit to Jesus, and the new creation, for those of us that chose Jesus, He's now making us into this new creation, enjoying a life of abundant possibilities that we can enjoy. Verses that hopefully you're all familiar with. You. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. For our overall gospel living, as we continue towards maturity, each day gives us an opportunity to trust in the Lord with more and more of our heart, and to lean not on our own understanding as we become aware and aware that His way is better than ours. In all our ways, acknowledge Him and trust Him to make our way better. So for our distress calls, you're getting woken up in the middle of the night, or it could be a phone call that came in the middle of the day. May you be empowered to go to the principles in these two verses and just be quicker than I was to call upon His name. For help in your own discipleship, as you just face each day and you say, can I trust God for this? Can you handle this too? That you would say, yes, God, help me to surrender myself to You even in this situation. As I look around and I know so many of you, and I know the things that you've walked through, are walking through, this is just another chance for us to grow, to mature, to see God can handle this as well. So for our help in sharing our faith and being a minister to others, these verses give us a way to frame our conversations with Him as we just think through what the gospel is. Here's what was explained to me. Now there is a God that loves me. I am a sinner. We've all fallen short. Jesus came to give us life, and now that new life can be lived every day in hope. We have that framed out for us in these two verses. God wants to bless us. He does. He's given us a pathway. He's revealed Himself to us. He's proven His faithfulness. He's proven His faithfulness in so many ways as we just read through Scripture and we enjoy all those stories. He's revealed, though, who we are, especially as we look back at the law, we look back at the nation of Israel, and how many times that they started and stopped and got further and further away. He's gone out of His way, though, than to show us that He's for us, that He can be trusted. He's clearing the path. Progress happens too slowly for people to notice. Setbacks happen too fast for people to ignore. We can be easily discouraged. We can see that, you know, maybe I'm not growing as much as I'd like to be growing, or see that I'm really apprehending as much as I am. Well, you probably would like to think that you are grasping more than you recognize. But yes, when we screw up, it has a glaring effect in not only our eyes, but others. But trust God. He's working with us for the long game. And just let Him work His work, and let Him comfort your heart in those times when you didn't step up like it would have been helpful. So once again, help principle number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There is a God. He can be trusted. He can be trusted with all of you. Hell principle number two, do not lean on your own understanding. You're not God. The sooner you realize this, the better. You're great, but you're human. You've been created in His image, but still created. And we're a fallen creature at that. But that leads us to principle number three, in all your ways acknowledge Him. And one of the ways we acknowledge Him is to recognize the sacrifice that He's made for us. So now when we're given another choice, we can choose Him. Every day brings those choices. Choose wisely. With all the resources, you're coming to see that God has provided. Hell principle number four, and He will make your path straight. And again, paths are better when they're straight. I'm great at screwing them up. He's good at straightening them out. But we're back to trust. Will He? Really? Even in this situation? Even with what I'm facing today? I haven't thought about coming to You with this, but why not, Lord? How can You help with this? God told Moses what His desired outcome to be for His people. He wanted to bless them. Moses alerted Aaron and his sons to this proclamation. God's desire for the nation of Israel then and for the church today, I want to bless you and keep you. I want My face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face upon you and give you peace. Amen. I believe the principles in these two verses can continue to provide us just the guidance we need to be able to enjoy such blessing. Let me pray. Father, a simple message, simple verses, but Father, they're far-reaching, and they can help us through any number of challenges that come before us. Father, I pray that You will continue to embed these verses and these principles into our lives. Father, that we'll use them not only for ourselves, but that we'll be able to minister to others with them. Lord, when we get in our way, thank You for forgiving us. Thank You for helping us to find the way out. We do want to live lives that are pleasing to You. We seek Your blessing. We want to enjoy Your blessing, not just for ourselves. We want to be a blessing so that we can be a blessing to others, all for Your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.